It's all yours, Mark.
Now we ought to be on. Man, thanks for having me back. I love this house. And I love Otis. I missed you last time, man. I can't remember the last time I was here, but we try to do it ever so often. But I do appreciate you all being here today. And the praise team did an absolutely good job. Yeah. I only sing to bring an atmosphere, and they have already done it, so there's no need in me doing it. But that doesn't mean you leave the table back there. That is a big part of the ministry, the product on the table. The new music album is back there. And if you know me well enough, I'm a preacher's kid, 67 years old, been in this all my life. And I was raised where if you listened to rock and roll, you was going to hell. And then we figured out, you're not going to hell. Isn't that something? Wow, some of the songs in the Broadman hymnal was worse than rock and roll. No, I'm just being honest with you. But the new album, it's got some Linda Ronstadt. You're so good, you're so good, you're so good. It's got a little James Taylor. How sweet it is to be loved by you. There's just some stuff on it. So grab some of the books or the CDs. I brought a few of the older series that the truth doesn't change. Amen? Truth doesn't change. Facts are updated, but truth doesn't change. And so if you can help yourself out back there, you can use a credit card, Visa, MasterCard, Discover, American Express, some good hunting property, fishing property. So that's all I'm going to say about that. But thank you guys for being here today. I was on my way back from Illinois in a meeting, and I've done this going on 30 years full time, every week somewhere else. And Pastor Mark and I was conversing, and he told me where he was leading you in the armor of God. And being raised in church, I've heard about every message you could teach on the armor of God. And so I started thinking. He said, what are you going to teach? And give us a title and some scriptures. Well, I like to feel the crowd. I gave him a title. I gave him some scriptures. And then I came this morning. We got to have fun. Amen? We have got to have fun. When you go to church, you got to have fun. Tell your neighbor it's your only battle. We have so complicated spiritual warfare in ministry, it's ridiculous. There's only one battle the believer has. There's only one. Are you recording already? So you need to get this CD. There's only one battle. But being raised in church, how many's ever heard the battle's not yours, it's the Lord's? That's Old Testament. 1 Samuel 17, when David was fighting Goliath, that's where he made the statement. In the Old Testament, the battle was the Lord's. And Jesus conquered that battle. What was man's battle in the Old Testament? To be right with the Lord. And Jesus won that battle. But there is a battle in the New Testament. Hence, we teach the armor of God. There is a battle in the New Testament, and our battle in the New Testament is to reveal the Lord. Oh, let me say it again. The battle in the Old Testament was to be right with God. The battle in the New Testament is to reveal God in your struggle. Amen. And so being a Christian doesn't mean you don't have body ink and piercings and dip snuff and all of that. You live your own convictions. I'm not condoning these things. Hello. Well, I'm going to go get a tattoo. Well, you know, when you're 18, young lady, that little rose is awesome. But at 60, it's suddenly a long stem. Amen? And so I would just, my encouragement is, gravity will pull. Amen? So don't leave here saying, well, I'm going to go get one because Mark said I could. That's not what it is. I'm not here to tell you my convictions. I'm here to give you a word that's going to help you. And if you'll hear it and listen to it, how many of you was raised in church? Whoo, this is going to be fun this morning. Amen. Somebody say, it's my only battle. I want you to open your Bibles, please, to the book of Philippians, the 4th chapter. And I had already given them scriptures on a direction I thought I was going. And then I came in the house and sensed a different direction. So, we'll just go with it. Is that all right? Philippians 4, the 6th verse, and I always read from the New King James Translation. I study beyond the translations. Be anxious for nothing. How many things are we supposed to be anxious for? Nothing. Do you realize anxiety is attributed to 97% of all sickness and disease? And in church, what do? Well, I've got a bad leg. I've got diabetes. I've got cancer. I've got this. 97% of all sickness and disease is attributed to stress. Stress is anxiety. So we have prayer lines for the symptoms of anxiety, but I've never in all my years been at a church that had a prayer line for stress. And stress is the root. You can pull a lemon off a tree because you don't like the lemon, but that lemon's going to grow back unless you deal with the root. And that is what the armor of God is for. That is what spiritual warfare is all about. Winning the battle of anxiety. Amen. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving. Somebody say thanksgiving. Notice it didn't say prayer, request, and begging. Hello. Let your requests be made known to God. This is going to be good today. Let's go over to Matthew 6, please. Somebody say, it's my only battle. Now tell your neighbor, I hope you're winning. Matthew, the 6th chapter, the 5th verse. And when you pray, now, let me ask you this. Is it a good thing to pray? Yes. What is the first thing we do, Pastor, when a battle starts? We pray. Okay. And so, what's this? When you pray, you will not be like the hypocrites. How many has ever heard of a hypocrite? Now, I'm a preacher's kid. If there was ever a good preacher's kid, it was probably me. Well, there's a joke for you. Amen. But we always thought a hypocrite was somebody who went out the Saturday before Sunday church, scooted a boot, had a few beers, and then comes to church and lifts their hands like they're holy. Oh, they're a hypocrite. That is a man-made definition. The Bible defines itself. What is a hypocrite in the Bible? They love to tell everybody their needs. They love to stand praying in the synagogues and on the corners of the streets that they may be seen by men. Assuredly, I say to you, they have their reward. What is the reward of the prayer of a hypocrite? They are heard by men. Is it possible to pray hypocritically? Yes. What does it mean to pray like a hypocrite? It means you're asking God how. Why would I need to tell you my problem if you have no authority to fix it? Why would you tell the plumber your car won't start? Why would you tell the mechanic your septic's backed up? Then why do you tell people your problems who have no authority to fix them? Because you need pity. A hypocritical prayer will always announce the need, supposing God will hear one of the thousand you've told in their prayer and meet our need. Mark, have you ever prayed hypocritically? Oh my God, yes I have. They stand in the corners. Somebody say the corner. See, we always look over that. But in that society, in the way they built their cities and their towns, their villages, is they would join buildings together at the corner and somebody would get in the corner and announce their prayer. And it was like a megaphone. Everybody could hear what they needed. Well, Mark, are you against praying? No. There's a series back there on how to pray effectively. Of course I'm not against praying. I am against begging and pity. Because that's not our witness. Our witness as a Christian is not, well, I've never done this. I've never been divorced. I've never gone to a saloon. No, our witness is, we don't need pity when things aren't going our way. Amen. All right. They love to stand praying in the corners, in the synagogues and on the corners of the streets that they may be seen by men. Assuredly, I say to you, they have their reward. Now, I'm going to give this to you simply. I'm not holding you long today. There are three attitudes in which a believer can choose to walk in a struggle. How many has ever been through a struggle? We all have. That's a facetious question. And some people have told me, Mark, I just want to get to the place I don't have any problems. That's called the graveyard, baby. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. If you've lived long enough, you're going to go through something. But the question is, when you go through it, are you fully equipped with the armor of God so much you don't pray like a hypocrite? Amen. And I've shared this story before, but I have a family member. I love them. But they'll call me. I'm on the road somewhere, and they'll call me, how you doing? Well, I'm doing good. Well, you wouldn't tell me if you weren't. Well, you can't fix it. Well, I can pray for you. Well, I'm not a bastard. He hears me. Hello. And bastard's not a cuss word. It's just a person that doesn't have a father. Okay? And so that same person, I asked them, hey, how you doing? And it was a little dissertation of how bad things were and hold me up. And they're family, so I know them. And they went through all this, and I promise you, it was almost a 3-minute dissertation. And at the conclusion of the dissertation, they said, well, I'm just ready to go home and be with the Lord. And all I said was, you sure take a lot of medicine for somebody that's wanting to die. And their eyes started filling up with water. And I said, now you quit. I love you, but I'm not going to suck up to your pity. Now you get over yourself. God has never forsaken you. You're just letting what you go through win your battle. Oh. When I need other people to know my problems, it's because I'm losing the battle. Oh, I'm only here for this morning. Is that okay? All right, let's keep going. Let's go to the sixth verse and let's find out another prayer. But when you pray, go into your room. Now, this is still Old Testament. I know that blank page between Malachi and Matthew is their New Testament. The translators have messed people up for centuries because they put the blank page in the wrong space. The New Covenant couldn't start until the old one was fulfilled, and the New Testament, no, the New Covenant couldn't start until Jesus died and rose from the dead. So, well, what's that got to do with me? This is all typology. It's all shadows. Paul taught first in the natural, then the spiritual. So when you pray, go into your room. What is a room in the Old Testament? Get into this mindset. And shut the door. What is the door? Don't dwell on those thoughts. Get into this mindset and shut the door. Now, I've got people I know that they've built a little prayer room in the house and they've got a door on it, and that's awesome. It's great. But you can go into any room and still think about your problem while you're praying. Okay? Are you teachable today? Okay. Tell your neighbor, he's leaving after this morning. But when you pray, I'm only here because Otis told me to come, okay? But when you pray, go into your room, and when you have shut the door, pray to your Father in the secret place, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you openly. So there's another room. Now the first option we have when we go through spiritual warfare and a battle is you can be a hypocrite and tell everybody your problem, needing their pity, or you can simply trust God. Trust is the highest form of Christianity. Christianity is not defined by your dress code, your hairstyle, your lack of divorce, your lack of drug use in your past. That is not what Christianity is. Christianity is defined by your trust, because trust is faith graduated. Faith is believing for it. Trust is knowing it's going to be okay. Amen. Now, this is our battle, Pastor Mark. Our battle is getting to the place, I'm not going to be anxious about it anymore. I don't see it happening, but it's going to be okay. I don't hear it's getting better, but it's going to be okay. Next verse, please. And when you pray, here's the third one. Do not use vain repetitions as the heathen do, for they think they'll be heard for their many words. So what's this? We have three options as a believer. Somebody say, it's your battle. Mark, am I winning? Which room have you chosen in your struggle? Have you chosen the pitiful room of hypocrisy? Have you chosen the glory room of trust? Or have you chosen the heathenistic room of just being the good Christian? How you doing, honey? I'm blessed, healed, and highly favored. Well, you don't act like it. Hello, I go to Word of Faith churches. I am a Word of Faith person. And we've been so hell-bent on saying the right thing. How you doing? Well, I'm healed. When you coming back to church? Well, when I get my way. Amen. Hello, now maybe I'm too blunt, but I don't want to. I'm not going to stick around here all day and suck up to you. I'm just going to tell you some truth. Amen. Somebody say, I have three options. Now you choose this day who you're going to serve. Are you going to serve heathenism, which just as a church person, we've been trained to say the right thing, but we never really believe it? Because how do I know I believe what I say, Mark? Because your attitude reveals it. When I believe what I say, is this okay with you? When I believe what I say, my attitude's going to reveal it. Well, Mark, the Bible says, bear one another's burdens. Let's go beyond the letter and see what the original text said. He said, when people tell you their needs, tell them to put it under their feet. Translations have screwed us up more than any devil.
Amen.
Well, don't you believe in praying? Of course I do. But you only pray until you hear the Father speak to you. And once He speaks to you, whether it be through Pastor Mark, Pastor Jada, myself, or whoever they have come in, God will speak to you in a dream. He'll speak to you in a vision. He'll speak to you through a word of wisdom, a word of knowledge, the discerning of spirits. God speaks. Amen? My God, His name is called Word. God speaks. You don't pray till you get your need met. You pray till God speaks to you about your need. And at that moment, you quit praying. If you continue to pray after God has already revealed through His Word of whatever measure, if you continue to pray, it's not faith, it's your unbelief. Amen. You're going to be glad you came today. Amen? Amen. Well, I'm not sure because I need some prayer. Okay, and when you pray, do not, I'm sorry, I'm just myself. I love it. I got over those years of trying to get everybody to like me. And when you pray, don't use vain repetitions as the heathen do, because they think they'll be heard just because they keep on declaring it all the time. Next verse, please. Don't be like them. My God, how plain is that? Now, I know we live in a politically correct, tree-hugging, frog-licking, dope-smoking society where everybody's going to get offended. Well, I don't want to offend. The fear of offense can only be taken when insecurity is present. We've been so afraid of offending people. This is the truth. Jesus even taught His disciples by the campfire, making s'mores. He was teaching them, I don't know if He's making s'mores, but He was roasting some holy cows. He said, is what I'm teaching you offending you? And they said, well, yeah. He said, well, get it right then. Get over your offense. Amen. Therefore, don't be like them. What's he saying? Don't pray like a heathen who just keeps on praying all the time and telling people, yeah, God's got it, God's got it, but you're still worrying. And don't be a hypocrite continually telling people your problems. Don't be like them. Tell your neighbor, here's where the cow burns. For your Father knows the things you have need of before you ask Him. I hated that scripture for years. I'm telling you, I did. I hated it, Mark. Because have you ever been through a battle and you've been praying and praying and praying and you go to church and it's no better, but you go to church. And here comes Sister Christian. Well, he knows what you need before you ask. And it's like, oh my God, get out of my face. Now, I'm just telling you, if you just read this, you're going to get aggravated. Because here's the thing. If He is really my Father and He loves me and He knows what I need before I ask, why do I need to even ask? Translation. See that word before? See that? Or back there, I'm sorry. See that word before? That's an English word. It comes from a Greek word, pro, P-R-O. This is where we get our other English word, professional. The definition is superior to, above, and in spite of. Let's retranslate it. For your Father knows the things you have need of in spite of what you're asking. I know what you need in spite of what you're asking. Why? James 4 says you have not because you... And then we get frustrated. God, don't you hear me? I've been asking, but you're asking amiss. What's it mean to ask amiss? Is this okay with everybody? What does it mean to ask amiss? It means you're asking according to what you see in the natural that you need. But I know what you need beyond what you think you need. Garth Brooks, I love Garth. He sang that song, Thank God for Unanswered Prayers. How many's got some prayers you're glad God didn't answer? Amen? That's it. He was proving Matthew 6, 8. He knows what you need in spite of what you think you need. Mark, so I only have three attitudes I can go into in spiritual warfare. Yes, you can be a hypocrite who needs pity telling everybody your problems. You can be a heathen who acts like it's okay, but you don't really believe it. Or you can just simply trust me. How can I trust Him? Because He knows what you need in spite of what you're asking. Can I prove it to you in the scripture? Okay. Acts the 3rd chapter. Acts 3. They're paying me by the hour, so I'm milking this puppy today. This pup will be milked. Acts 3, the first verse. Now, Peter and John went up together in the temple at the hour of the prayer, the ninth hour, and a certain man lame from his mother's womb was carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms for those who entered the temple. Now, in my upbringing in church, being of a Pentecostal background where it's all power and miracles, and I thank God for my upbringing, I'm still Pentecostal, just not by denomination. I believe the experience, not the rules. And a certain man lame from his mother's womb. We never saw this, though. All we preached was the miracle. He was laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask for alms. Now, what was he asking for? Alms. Now, does the Bible not say, ask and you shall? If the Bible says, ask and you shall receive, why am I not getting what I'm asking for? We need more time together. This is a conference here. Watch this. Who, seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, asked for alms. And fixing his eyes on him with John, Peter said, look at us. So he gave them his attention, expecting to receive something. What was the something he was expecting to receive? Exactly what he asked for, which was alms. Then Peter said, silver and gold I don't have, but what I do have I give you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. And he took him by the right hand, lifted him up, and immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength. So he, leaping up, stood and walked and entered the temple with them, walking, leaping, and praising God. And all the people saw him walking and praising God. Then they knew it was he who sat by the gates begging alms at the beautiful gate of the temple, and they were filled with wonder and amazement at what had happened to him. Now, wait a minute. Ask and you shall receive, but what if you're not receiving what you're asking? Because you're asking on a level to only satisfy you. What happened? He was healed. What happened after that? Many people believed in Jesus because he got what he needed and not what he wanted. Are you asking amiss? How do I know if I'm asking amiss? Because if you're praying hypocritically, you're asking God how. If you're praying heathenistically, you're asking God why. Amen. Well, let me show you something else. John, the 11th chapter. You still happy you came today? John, the 11th chapter. I'm going to read through this quick. I'm from Oklahoma, born and raised, in which we still pay our landscapers more than our educators. Amen. God, what idiots in the government of Oklahoma. Holy smokes, Batman. Now, a certain man was sick, Lazarus of Bethany, the town of Mary, and her sister Martha. And it was that Mary who anointed the Lord with fragrant oil and wiped his feet with her hair, whose brother Lazarus was sick. Therefore, somebody say therefore. Now, you know what therefore means? Therefore? Because I did this, I'm going to smoke a cow. Because I did this, I expect you to do this. What was the issue they had? Their brother was sick. And they reminded Jesus, Mark, am I a hypocrite or a heathen in my prayer? Are you reminding God of how good you've been in your prayer? Are you reminding God, I've gone to church when I didn't feel like it. I was there ministering to kids. When I couldn't afford it, I paid my tithe. So God, I'm believing you're going to do this. Quit it. Amen. That's what they were saying. Yeah, he's sick, but let me remind you, we poured oil on you and my sister Mary wiped your feet with her hair. So now we deserve something. But God will not give you what you want. He will give you what you need. And you can only be frustrated and anxious when your flesh is not getting what it thinks it needs to be happy. This is good. I may buy this CD. Amen. Well, give me a discount. I'm just a lowly preacher. All right, watch this. So therefore, sister, since him, third verse, Lord, behold, whom you love is sick. Fourth verse. And when Jesus heard that, he said, this sickness is not unto death. Now, can God lie? No, come on. I'm just be yourself with me. I'm being myself with you. Can God lie? He can't. So if God can't lie and he's spoken, how can we be anxious? Because we're not getting our way. We're not getting it done the way we want to. And I've been there. And this is my battle. I'm not up here wearing a coat to hide wings to keep you from feeling bad about yourself. I go through this every day. Every day I have to choose a room I'm going to get into. I'm going to be a hypocrite calling everybody at TBN, Daystar, John, Joni, all of them. Or I am going to be a person that just goes around, oh, I'm blessed, healed, highly favored. I believe in positive declaration, but it's to believe what you say. Jesus said, when you believe what you say, you will have what you say. Amen? So we don't have an asking problem. We've got a trusting problem. Therefore, we need the armor of God because our battle is between our ears to simply trust. Let me keep reading this. We've got to hurry. Kids got to go. He said, this sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God. Oh, there you go. We could close right now. Well, I hope you do. Well, no, but I mean this. I'm just talking to myself now. But what's this? This sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God. How do I interpret that, Mark? If you're not getting what you're asking for, you're probably asking amiss because you don't see the glory of the crowd like the lame man that's going to believe in Jesus because you maintained your attitude of trust. See, we want to be healed today so we don't have to keep the doctor's appointment Tuesday. But what we don't know is that Tuesday somebody's going to be in that office that doesn't even know God and they're going through the same thing you are. But as they see your attitude of trust, it's going to sow a seed in them. And the word says the seed will not return void, but it will prosper in the thing it was sent to. So in the middle of a struggle, if I'm a hypocrite, I'm praying, God, how? If I'm a heathen, I'm praying, God, why? And when. But if I'm trusting God in a struggle, I'm praying, God, evidently there's somebody I'm supposed to minister to. Lead me to those people. Here's the answer to a miracle. As you give, it will be given back to you. A good measure pressed down, shaken together, and running over. What we put into somebody else is going to come back to us. What are you telling me, Mark? If you're having to ask for a blessing, it's because you have yet to become one. That's the truth. Is this too straight? I'm trying to hurry because I know we're on time restraint and I'm not politically correct. All right, so what's this? This sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, that the Son of God may be glorified through it. Let's just read another one. Now, Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. So when he heard that he was sick, he stayed two more days. Do you realize when we don't get what we pray for, what do? Start a fast. Because by God, we're going to make him do it. I will starve myself to death until he does it. Well, it's the truth. Aren't you glad we can laugh at ourselves? Well, I'm hurt. Well, you're insecure, so just keep on listening, okay? And Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus, so when he heard he was sick, he stayed two more days. Hey, the beach is too good here. You know what I'm saying? I love this guy. And then after that, he said to the disciples, let's go. Now, wait a minute. Why did he wait two more days? He waited two more days to give them what they asked for, to let them know, I don't do what you ask, I do what you need. If we can ever get to the mentality, God is good. Oh, he's so good. And just because it doesn't happen when we want and the way we want doesn't mean it's not going to be good. If you're not getting what you want, it's because he's got something better than what you're asking. Why did he wait 2 days? Because most of the things we go through as a believer is not because of us. It's because of people we're in contact with that needs to see God glorified through us. This is good. All right, so anyway, let's drop to the 17th verse. So when Jesus came, he found that he had already been in the tomb 4 days. I love this guy. Now, Bethany was near Jerusalem, about 2 miles away. You were 2 miles away and it took you 4 days to get here? Yeah, because I'm not going to do what you ask. I'm going to give you what you need. Somebody say trust. See, a heathen would start praying, God, why? Why? A hypocrite start praying, God, when? When? And start telling everybody. Now, Bethany was near Jerusalem, about 2 miles away, and many... Thank you, Lord. Somebody's needing to hear this. Your miracle is not far away. It's not far away. And many of the Jews had joined the women around Martha and Mary to comfort them concerning their brother. Now Martha, as soon as she heard that Jesus was coming, went and met him, but Mary was sitting in the house. There's the three types of believers. Martha, which I call Manic Martha, and I will tell her that to her face one day. She was... OCD before OCD was diagnosed. I mean, seriously, you read her through the scriptures, the woman freaks over anything that is out of time. I mean, she is day planner Martha. So what does she do? The guy hadn't even got to town yet. She heard, okay, he's coming. She runs and meets him before he even gets to town. She's got her little day planner, Lord. I had you scheduled here 3 days ago at 11:45 a.m. And I'm trying not to let this get to me. But they haven't discovered Valium yet, and I don't have any. And so I'm freaking out. Be anxious for nothing. Are you hearing me? Be anxious for nothing. Are you not getting your way about something? It's not because God hasn't heard you. Daniel said, I fasted 21 days. God said, I heard you the first day, but the timing wasn't right. Are you hearing me? When we would get over our spoiled self of having to have our way when we want it, we would be a greater witness in the middle of a struggle. How you doing? I am blessed. Well, how's your problem? You'd have to ask him. Some of you here today are going to move into the right mentality. And this is our spiritual warfare every day. We're not fighting a devil. Holy smokes, Catwoman. Get over religious people. Oh, the devil's up. No, the works of the devil have been destroyed. So what is our problem? It's our ego. We want, it's like a W.G. Wentworth commercial in most believers. It's my money and I want it now. And if you don't get what you're asking for, I'm rebuking that devil. It's not the devil. Can you imagine the lame man at the gate, beautiful, rebuking the devil when Peter offered to heal him instead of giving him money? Somebody's needing to hear this. Quit rebuking the devil because you're telling God you don't trust him. Okay. And as soon as she heard that Jesus was coming, went and met him, but Mary was sitting in the house. Now, what's this? Somebody say there's three rooms. The Bible is so cool, it defines itself. There were three participants in this play. There was Martha, Manic Martha. Holy smokes. There was Martha, who is anxious to the degree she is hypocritical. Because she's asking, because when he showed up, I'll show you the next verse. Martha said, Lord, if you'd have been here, my brother wouldn't have died. Because an anxious mentality of hypocrisy will always blame God for not doing what you ask when you ask it. But Mary was sitting in the house. Was Mary a believer? Of course she was. How do you know? She's the one that anointed him with oil. But she is an offended believer. How do I know if I'm an offended believer? Because in your prayer, you're asking God, why? I did this for you. Why didn't you do this for me? Do you know how many people are offended at God that are in church on a Sunday morning? It's not something they're going to stand up and tell everybody, but down deep inside they have questions. Why didn't you heal mama? Why didn't you heal my baby? Why didn't you do this? But what they can't see is the ministry that came out of it. And then there's Lazarus. What do you mean, Mark? He was dead to it. That's the room we want, Jada. Because we are going to go through stuff. Girls, you're going to go through stuff. Ladies, you're going to. We're all going to go through stuff. But you have to pick a room. See, in the Old Testament, the battle was the Lord's. But in the New Testament, the battle is ours. And our battle is to choose a room we go in. You can be offended and ask God why. You can be anxious and ask God when. Or you can simply die to it and let the glory be revealed. Well, I'll prove it to you. Let's skip. Thirtieth verse. Now, Jesus had not yet come into the town. See, that's Martha. Just drives you freaking nuts. No, I'm telling you, these type of people, oh my Lord. She catches him before he even got to the town. Why? If you'd have been here, he wouldn't have died. If you'd shut up, I can raise him. Well, Mark, when's my miracle going to happen? When you stop asking him. Because prolonged prayer is proof you have to see it to believe it. Once he speaks to it, when Jesus, and I'm going to another story, but Mark the 11th chapter, you remember Jesus went to the fig tree to see if perhaps there would be something on it. He turned the leaf over, there was nothing. He cursed it from the root, and then he called TBN. He called Pastor Mark at 2 in the morning. He called every prayer chain he knew and said, look, I've got something that's not going my way, and I need you to pray about it. And he told Pete and Luke and Matt and all the guys, hey, y'all just gather hands and stay around the tree, and you keep on praying and believing. Is that what happened? No. No, it's not what happened. He spoke to it and walked off while it was still in the same condition when he spoke to it. But the next morning they come back by, and Peter, which is Prozac Peter, this guy's got ADHD before it was ever diagnosed. I mean, Pete's just the guy. He's going to jump out of the boat, and he's kind of like, which way did he go, George? I mean, Peter's just one of those people. It's like, hey, I want to tell you the Gettysburg. Oh, there's a fly. I mean, he can't stay focused, and that's just Peter. I mean, one day he's saying, Lord, I'll go to prison for you. Next day, he's denying himself and denying Jesus to a woman. He cuts off a soldier's ear. He heals the sick the next day. I mean, the guy is just psychologically traumatized. And so naturally, Prozac Pete walks by the tree the next morning. He's like, Lord, look, the tree is dried up from the root. What you said actually happened. Did that? Now, I was being a little facetious with it, a little crazy, but did they have a prayer chain going? No. Can God lie? No. When he spoke to it, it happened. What did Jesus do? Now's where the battle comes in. You can either hang around the tree and wait to see it, or you can go to the house and rest. And when they came back the next morning, what are you telling me, Mark? The very thing you keep speaking to cannot change until you leave it alone. Your continual prayer request and prayer for it is the delay, because continuing to pray for what God has already spoken to is proof unbelief is present. Amen. Okay. So 30th verse, they hadn't yet come into the town, but it was in the place where Martha met him, because the anxious people always try to jump his timing. Then the Jews who were with her in the house and comforting her, when they saw Mary, rose up quickly and went out and followed her, saying, she's going to the tomb to weep there. Then when Mary came to where Jesus was and saw him, she fell down at his feet. Now, wait a minute. Can we smoke another cow? She fell down at his feet, saying to him, Lord, oh. Fell down at his feet was a worshiping position. But watch this. People that worship and have to only worship publicly, if you're offended in your heart, you won't worship privately. Some people need to be seen publicly. They worship. But if we looked through your blinds at home, are you worshiping the same way you just did in church? What's that mean, Mark? It means offense. Offended believers will always try to make everything around them publicly look like they're close to God, but inside they're offended. Yeah, just saying. Lord, if you'd have been here, my brother wouldn't have died. First thing that come out of her mouth. She didn't say, Lord, I'm so glad you're here, because I got the message this sickness is not unto death. This isn't the way it's going to turn out. But see, when you're offended, you don't believe that anymore. Therefore, when Jesus saw her weeping and the Jews who came with her weeping, he groaned in the spirit and was troubled. And he said, where have you laid him? Now, is Jesus God? Doesn't God know everything? He knows the hairs of your head. He had to recount mine this morning. Amen. He knows everything. So the question of where have you laid him was not because he didn't know. He was giving them some insight. I can't heal what you don't reveal. Your offense toward me because I didn't do something the way you wanted it years ago? Just tell me, God, I've held it against you and wasn't even thinking about it. I tried to harbor it. Today I give it to you. Jesus groaned in the Spirit. How many's ever heard, don't grieve the Holy Spirit? Do you realize there's only one way to grieve the Holy Spirit? There's only one. What is that way? Not trust the Father. That's the only way you grieve him. Let me keep going here. 38th verse. Then Jesus again, groaning in himself, you want to hack God off, don't trust him. You want to hack God off? Ask him why. Ask him when. Amen. Then Jesus, again groaning in himself, came to the tomb, and it was a cave, and a stone lay against it. And Jesus said, take away the stone. And Manic Martha, the sister of him who was dead, was like, oh my God. See, that's one more thing. If you would have done what I was asking you, 3 days ago at 11:45 a.m., I was scheduled to go to Bed Bath & Beyond at 12:30, and I was going to pick up some plug-ins and get air fresheners, and now you've thrown my whole schedule off, and now he's going to stink. Oh, my God. People like that drive you nuts. Young men, if you're not married, please don't marry a Martha. Yeah, but Mark, she's beautiful. She's a brick house. She mighty, just let it all hang out. Check it down, check it. That brick house is going to need siding one day. Don't marry a Martha. Holy smokes, you'll be in prayer lines and conferences. Well, she looks good. Okay. Go ahead. I mean, you heard it. All right, watch this. And so Martha, the sister of him who was dead, said to him, Lord, by this time there's a stench, for he's been dead 4 days. Understand this. The principle is this. When you trust God, no matter how long it takes, it's not going to stink when it happens. It's going to be right on time. So today, let's start doing warfare the way it's supposed to be done scripturally. It's not against a devil. It's against our ego. I need it my way to be happy. No, don't be a hypocrite. I'm all for, hey, it's okay to tell somebody, hey, I'm going through something. I need you to agree with me. But it's not praying God meet their need. It's praying, Father, give them the word they can stand on. That's how you pray. So don't leave here saying, Mark, don't believe in prayer. I do. I just believe in praying according to the Scripture, not what religious tradition has taught us. I'm no better than you, and you're no better than me. We are all equal. And so my prayers to God are not heard above yours. So what I'm praying is, Father, speak to them, whether in a dream, a vision, or through somebody else. Give them a word they can hang on to. And you trust that word. It's your only battle, is to trust God. Otherwise, you'll be a hypocrite telling everybody your problem, hold you up. Or you'll be a heathen acting to everybody, oh, it's all good, but you don't really believe it. You can be Martha, you can be Mary, or you can be Lazarus and just sleep through it. Tell your neighbor, I think I'll rest. Father, thank you for your word today. Thank you for the anointing. Thank you for instruction and life. Because you said when the truth comes, it will bring correction, indoctrination, instruction, and reproof concerning our righteousness. Lord, anything these people are going through, they found out today. My God, I've been a hypocrite. My God, I've been a heathen. I think I'm just going to get in a room called trust because you've already spoken to me through your word, through the prophet, through the preaching, through dreams, visions. You've already spoken to me. It's going to be okay. So today, I'm just going to let it go. You believe that today? Would you look up at me just a moment? I hope you got something out of the word. It's 11:59. Whew! I made it. Now, if you need special ministry, I'm here for you. I don't do counseling. I could, but I don't. But if you need special prayer, I'll pray with you. But I want you to be honest with me for just a moment. And Pastor Mark, if you want me to do it different, I will. I'm here for you. If you want me to call them forward, I can. Otherwise, I think this is good. How many here today, you say, Mark, I've been in the wrong room. Show me your hands. Hold it up there. Just keep it up a minute. It's nothing to be ashamed of. I release on you the anointing of Lazarus, that he just slipped through the whole mess and trusted God. I break off anxiety and offense. Father, anyone here that's been asking why or when, we say, God, today is the first day of the rest of my Christian witness. I'm going to be the one that is known to trust you. I release these people that when the enemy comes and says, oh, you need to pray about it again, they cast down that voice and say, nope, he's already heard me, and my God shall supply all my need. I will not need pity in any way because my God heard me. And today, the miracle can begin to manifest on your time because, God, I will no longer be a delay to your will, because I know you know what I need in spite of what I'm asking. Do you receive that today? Amen. You get up in the morning, and when you're tempted to pray about it again, that's the enemy. If God's already spoken to you, it's the enemy. Cast it down. Cast it down. Enter trust. It's your only battle. Amen.
Yes, amen. Awesome word. Golly, I came to church today and I got called a heathen, a hypocrite, and I feel good about it. I'm leaving feeling good about it because I'm leaving a Lazarus. I got over my spoiled self this morning. Wow, that was a powerful word. We're going to have that on CD, and then we're also going to upload it on our website, hfchurch.com. And I want to encourage you to be a blessing to Mark's ministry. You can put your checks in the tithe and offering box back there and just make them out to HFC. And in the memo, if you don't mind putting Mark's ministry, Mark Shell Ministries, we'll make sure it gets all to him before he leaves today. And make sure you go back there to his resource table, because I listen to his CDs a lot, and I'll have to re-listen to them, guys, because I'm just like, man, that there's so much truth in that. This is one of those messages you need to go back and re-listen to, because there's so much truth in this. And golly, I love it. I'm no longer a hypocrite. I'm no longer a heathen. I am a Lazarus, and I am trusting God in the glory room. Amen. I love, and there's one other quote I'm going to say. Trust is the highest form of Christianity. Trust is faith graduated. And that is our only one battle in the New Testament, is revealing God in your struggles by trusting him. Amen. All right, I want everybody to stand up. Give Mark another hand clap. Amen. Awesome word. And I want to speak a blessing over you, okay? Out of Numbers chapter 6, verses 24 through 26. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you his peace. in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. God bless you. You're dismissed. Have a blessed week. And be a Lazarus. Don't be a manic.